live from Radio Free Brooklyn Studios in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. This is Everybody Plays the Fool. For the next hour, we're bringing you a carefully selected mix of music, trivia, talk, music, and other stuff, all around a different theme each week. And you're in for a real treat tonight, because this week's very special theme is
the ukulele.
Just remember,
before you do anything rash, dig this. Everybody plays the fool sometime. There's no exception to the rule. Listen, baby, it may be factual, may be cruel.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everybody Plays the Fool here on Radio Free Brooklyn. My name is Shane and I'm here every week bringing you all kinds of different music tied together with a different theme each week. And tonight is a very special episode, going to do something a little different than normal. I had the pleasure of interviewing a musician that I've been a fan of for a long time, Jim Boja. And he is also a great ukulele player, so you're going to hear some of my interview with Jim, as well as some music that he played live in studio, and also some other ukulele music mixed in from other artists as well. We'll hear the first section of my interview with Jim in just a minute, in which we talk about our favorite band, NRBQ, as well as how he started playing the ukulele. But first, I wanted to play a song off of Jim's album, Uke Pop, and this is a cover of a classic Todd Rundgren song. So kicking things off, here's Jim Boja with I Saw the Light here on Everybody Plays the Fool. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn.
It was late last night. Had a feeling something wasn't right. There was not another soul inside. I saw the light in your eyes, in your eyes. So we had a fling, though I never would suspect a thing, till a little bell began to ring in my head, in my head. So I
with Jim Boja live in the studio. Jim is a multi-talented performer. He's a singer. He's a songwriter. First off, welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much. Very happy to be here.
I'm thrilled that you could be here. I'm a big fan of your music, and
Thanks, man. I
know that you are a music obsessive person, and I think that we share a lot of obsessions in various areas. So I'm really
indeed. We ran into each other at an NRBQ show
recently,
which is a huge passion of mine, and I think yours too. So,
but also you have, I think, the only song out there about NRBQ.
There's got to be more, because, you know, how could they?
If someone's looking,
not be, but
in recorded music, yours is probably the first one they'll find.
Yeah, I'm probably your
safer?
First Google
okay.
hit, definitely.
How did that come about? That song, I've played that song multiple times on this show.
Oh, thank you so much, man. That's awesome.
And it's called "Listening to NRBQ." It's a great pop song. It's a very sort of wistful looking back at. It's not just a tribute to the band, but it's also sort of looking at, looking back on younger days and different ways he used to consume music and all that stuff. How did that song come about?
Yeah, well, I would say, you know, what you were just saying is probably more what the song is really about. You know, in certain sense, it could be about any band, you know, if whatever band you like, that's your personal story or whatever.
Right.
I used NRBQ because that's the band I love more than, you know, any other band. But it really is kind of about how music and memory and, you know, looking back in our lives and how the music that was around is interwoven with that. And it was just, it was nice to pay tribute. At the time, I had no direct connection to the band, but the bass player on the track is a good friend of mine, Pete Donnelly. Pete played on that entire album, Misadventures in Stereo, that song is on. It was a very strange set of circumstances that, you know, I wrote this song, had Pete play on it because he's playing on the record. And then Pete winds up playing with Terry, and then they, you know, wind up being and reconstituting NRBQ, and he's in it. And so then I got to meet, you know, Terry and the rest of the band through Pete, and Pete had played Terry the song.
Oh, wow.
Which was amazing. And, you know, like first time I meet Terry, he's like, hey, I like that song. And it's like,
that's
oh, my God.
It's a good Terry Adams you've got.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And, you know, that for me was just like the ultimate.
To meet a
compliment.
Musical hero and the first thing they say to you is a compliment of your music. That's
it
wild.
It was pretty heavy.
You have you've put out a bunch of albums, a lot of different kind of stylistic things that you've done. And I know, you know, I thought of you primarily as a guitar player at first, but you have really been focusing on the ukulele in the last handful of years. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, kind of starting in 2009, I just sort of...
What happened to you in 2009 that made you start playing the ukulele more? It's as you know, that's the theme of this week's show. So obviously I love the ukulele, but not a lot of people gravitate towards it, especially who are already a really serious established player.
Yeah, well, there were a couple of things that happened. I mean, really, it was basically random that I picked one up.
Yeah.
And when I picked it up, I kind of had an immediate affinity for it that reminded me of when I first started playing guitar when I was like 5. My first guitar was like a classical guitar,
mm-hmm.
and I had really small hands, and, you know, classical guitar is nylon string. Ukulele is nylon string. My hands were so small on a classical guitar at the time, I couldn't reach the low E and A strings on guitar. So, you know, like the first, I don't know, 8 months.
You were only working with four strings anyway.
I was only working four strings anyway. And, you know, it really was. It was like, oh, wow, I know exactly what this is. And, you know, I was always like that little kid. I was like the weird kid who actually liked to practice, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I was really into that. And so it kind of reminded me of that. And it came along at a really good time for something like that to come along, because the album that we were talking about a little bit earlier, Misadventures in Stereo, that has Listening to NRBQ on it,
mm-hmm.
That had an unenthusiastic reception from my record label.
Uh-huh.
at the time. I like to describe it as it was as though they stepped in dog poop and and they had to scrape it off their shoe. And, you know, my relationship with that label was in deterioration as I was making that record. And they did a very interesting thing, which was they basically released it and then immediately stopped any type of support for it. But then they didn't drop me from the label.
Oh,
you see?
Worst
see,
of all worlds. Yeah.
You see what they did?
You're stuck.
I'm stuck. Right. So, you know, it was a dark time because, you know, like I couldn't really, and, you know, there was a publishing deal with them as well. So if I wrote songs, they would tie them up. If I recorded, they would tie them up. I could still play shows, but they weren't supporting the record. So it wasn't, you know.
Right.
And so it was just, here was the ukulele and it made me feel as excited about music as I did when I was a little kid. And I was really excited about music and I first found it. And I just locked myself in my room all the time and I played guitar. And whereas a lot of my career at the time was really, you know, kind of painful in terms of like dealing with music, here was this thing that didn't have anything to do with any of that. And it's just like, you know what? I can sit in my room for the next year and just play this thing and learn, figure it out. Because, you know, obviously, as I'm sure you know, as most people know, you know, there's a lot of overlap between ukulele and guitar. It's almost like the bottom four strings of a guitar, but generally most ukuleles, the string that is nearest to your face, if you're thinking about it that way when you hold it, is an octave higher than what it would be, you know, than all the other strings. So that at first you can just kind of ignore it and it's a string that's playing in the wrong octave and whatever. But then, you know, there comes a point where it's like, well, how do I actually play this thing? And you really do. It's a thing to learn. It's a thing to right. kind of come to terms with. And you know, every instrument has its own kind of vocabulary and its own way of being played and things that you can do on it. And I just, in that first moment of picking the uke up, I kind of had a vision of, oh, I see what I can do with this thing. And then, you know, it was a matter of, well, not a lot else on my musical schedule.
Right.
I'm going to lock myself in my room and just play for, you know, 3 or 4 hours every day like I did. And it was great. It saved me from going to a really dark place and having a really like negative association with music. You know, it was just this pure thing that I could do.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was great. And so, you know, as much as I like the instrument, just because I like the instrument, you know, I have this real like, oh my God, that instrument saved me.
I think that story is, I mean, it's great for a lot of reasons, but I like that story because the sort of one of the issues with the ukulele is that it's not taken seriously enough by a lot of people. The stereotype of it is that it's a toy, it's for kids, or it's a novelty instrument.
Absolutely.
You know, that they picture like the Elvis movie or, you know, whatever, like it's being used as a prop or something. But it's funny because the stereotype of it is that it's a very cheery sounding instrument.
Right. And, you know, that was the thing I sort of recognized immediately is like, oh, this is a real instrument. You know, you can do what you can do with any real instrument. It's like, oh, between this A and this A, there's 12 half steps, just like any other instrument. Right. You know, it's got all the same notes as any other instrument.
I think a lot of people pick it up because they're like, oh, this is so much easier to lug around, or it's so much more accessible. Like I know a lot of people who are intimidated by the guitar or don't quite have the finger strength yet. Like it's a good entry level instrument for them to sort of get acclimated.
Absolutely. And those things are all true. Right. And those things are all great about it. You know, it's great that like now kids who maybe would be intimidated or like, you know, like what I went through, you know, I was weird. Like I was asking to play guitar for a year before, you know, they finally, like, I think my dad paid off the guitar. It doesn't matter if his hands aren't big enough. Just teach him. He keeps talking about it. But, you know, for a lot of kids who'd be put off because the guitar is too big for them or it's too unwieldy or, the you know, it's too hard to press down on the strings, here's something that you can get into and you can be playing, you know, some things really fast. But it's just the fact that that's not the ceiling of the instrument, you know?
Absolutely. I like that you picked it up and were drawn to it because of the creative possibilities of it.
Yeah,
not
absolutely.
Because it was like a poor man's version of something else, but because in and of itself, you found that, oh, this has something in it that other instruments don't, that I can do something with.
Yeah. Yeah. And I always, you know, I always like the sound of nylon strings, like whether it's a classical guitar or harp or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, and
or it's Willie Nelson or something.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, and that is one of the, I guess, biggest misconceptions, you know, is about like the cheerfulness of it.
Right.
It's like nylon strings can be really sweet and delicate and haunting and sad. And, you know, there's a lot of expressiveness that you can get out of that tone because it's not as bright as a steel string. You know, it's not as pointed. It's a bit more of a rounder, softer sound. So you can really do some stuff with it. All right, this is putting me on the spot a little bit because I don't normally play this on ukulele, but I think we can transpose it in a way that I'll be able to sing it and play it at the same time. This is a tune called No Way Out from my heartbreaking third album, Misadventures in Stereo.
Listening to Everybody Plays the Fool here on Radio Free Brooklyn. I know it hurts to fade the song out, but the show's about ukuleles, so I wanted to play the ukulele part. But that, of course, is Paul McCartney with the version of Something from the Concert for George, which is really incredible. If you haven't seen it, you should go check that out. For this song, among many others. But that's Paul McCartney with Something. And before that, we heard Steve Martin and Bernadette Peters with Tonight You Belong to Me off of The Jerk, off from that movie. And what did we hear before that? We heard Jim Boja live in studio at Radio Free Brooklyn with his song No Way Out. I put him on the spot and I asked if he would play an original song. And he doesn't usually play his own music on ukulele. And so that was a game time decision for him. And I'm really glad that he did that. I do love that song. You should go check that one out, which you can find on his album Misadventures in Stereo. But that was called No Way Out. And we kicked off that set before the interview segment with Jim Boja doing I Saw the Light. And that's off of his album Uke Pop, which is a bunch of really great ukulele arrangements. Some of them are just him and a uke like that one, and some are more layered, and we'll hear some of that later on. I want to remind you, this is Radio Free Brooklyn. and we are a nonprofit community internet radio station, and we rely on the hosts and the managers and the volunteers and, of course, you, the listener, to keep this place going. So go check out radiofreebrooklyn.org and find out about all the great stuff happening here. Find out about all the amazing shows on the lineup. We get more and more all the time. And also, while you're there, click that donate button. Toss in a couple of bucks if you are so inclined. We do appreciate it. But yeah, radiofreebrooklyn.org. You can find out about all kinds of stuff. And we have a lot coming up. We're in the lead up to our 5-year anniversary as a studio. And so we've got this big Drive to 5 campaign coming up. So stay tuned for that. Sign up for the RFB newsletter on the website and you'll find out about all of that. And of course, you can listen to Radio Free Brooklyn anywhere you go on the mobile app for Android or iPhone. So go check that out as well. I've got more interview with Jim Boja coming up and another song that he played live in studio, which was really a treat for me. Jim is someone who I've seen perform a few times in different contexts, and it was really great that he came out to the studio here and gave me some time, so I do appreciate that. Let's get into this interview. Here's some more of me talking ukuleles with the great Jim Boja. I saw that you recently played the Connecticut Ukulele Festival.
Yeah, that was great. You know, what's great about it is I did this show that I've been doing for the past couple of years called Bruce Off Broadway, which is Springsteen on ukulele, because of course, you know, the idea had to be done. And Shane,
it was sitting right there. Yeah, I can't believe no one else picked it up.
Of the 75 people who decided to do Springsteen on ukulele, I was doing my show. But, you know, generally the audience will be like Springsteen fans. There'll be some of my fans, you know, who are there. And there'll be some ukulele fans, but it's not necessarily the most like totally ukulele centric audience. Whereas this was, you know, everybody there is
specifically there for ukuleles.
Big draw about it, right? Was that there was this ukulele thing. And so, you know, just some of the stuff that I'm doing, you know, the appreciation of it in that room was really on point.
Right. digging the technique.
Yeah, exactly.
Like aside from, oh my God, he made my favorite horn line from the song into a ukulele riff.
Right, exactly.
Well, let's talk about those Springsteen shows, the Bruce Off Broadway. I saw you do it at City Winery a while back.
Uh-huh.
It was fantastic.
Thank you.
It was, on paper, it's a bit of a head scratcher because you're looking at it as like, okay, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, and you are doing arrangements of full band songs. You're not doing the Springsteen alone with a guitar, you know, acoustic versions. You're presenting the full song with, you know, as all of these complex interlocking parts. And part of the reason that people love those songs so much is because of all of those different pieces to it.
Yeah.
And you're able to cover a lot of them with just you singing and playing a ukulele. And I think because it's such a small instrument, it's really bewildering to see because you're getting all of this stuff coming off of a pretty small package, you know, on stage. Why did you pick Bruce Springsteen first off for that?
Well, I mean, I'll say first that sort of idea of taking a record and the arrangement from the record and putting it onto one instrument has been something that, you know, has been a continuum in my playing, you know, musicianship since the very beginning. Partly because when I fell in love with music and records, it was as much the arrangement on records as, you know, the lyrics or the melodies or corporate, you know, like I always had a thing about being drawn to particular elements of, oh, now the bass is going to do this. Oh, now the horns do this part, you know, and focusing on that. And, you know, I had a rather sad, lonely childhood where,
hey, I'm an only child, so I totally understand.
me as well. And, I lived out in the middle of nowhere. And so, you know, I didn't have like I wasn't in any bands or anything until I was like 17, 18 when I had a car.
Right.
And, you know, I started playing at five. So there were a lot of years of, you know, well, I don't want to just learn the, you know, like the chords and strum or just play the guitar part. Like I want all those parts. So I, you know, would learn how to do that on guitar. And interestingly enough, or maybe not, but it is to me, my dad was an accordion player.
That's the ultimate one man band instrument right there.
It really is, yeah. Right? You know, like my dad would, you know, do bass and chord notes with the left hand buttons and then melody and, you know, harmony and counterpoint with his right hand. And so, you know, that idea was very natural of like, oh, one instrument can play all these parts.
Right.
And so I think that really was with when I first picked up the uke was like, oh, right, I can do all of that here and it's going to be great. The Springsteen thing specifically kind of happened. One of the first things that I did when I started playing uke was I worked out a version of Thunder Road.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would play it kind of at the end of my own shows and whatever, and always got a great response. And it's really nice because, you know,
and it's that, epic. Your arrangement right, of that is.
Thank you very great. Much. Yeah. And, you know, the record is epic, right? Like it, sure. You know, it has all that meat on the bones that you can really, really mm-hmm. dig into. And then when Bruce started doing the Springsteen, on Broadway, you know, it was just a joke that somebody, it was like, you know, the guy I know was like, he was upset that, you know, that it was $800, you know,
sure.
You know, it's like Springsteen on Broadway, $800. You should do Bruce off Broadway on ukulele, $8. It's like, hey, ha ha ha. Hey, wait a minute. And, you know, and then you think about like his catalog. There's so many songs.
Right.
And, you know, he's got the E Street Band on so much of it that there's all of these great dense arrangements. It's like, well, let me see what we got here. And it turned out that it's like, yeah, this is a whole show. And so I've been doing it the past couple of years and, you know, it was serendipitous, but.
Yeah. But I love that you're sense. Still doing it after Bruce's show closed. Cause it's almost like you've outlived his,
I got a longer run, more popular than Bruce.
And I loved at the time, it was like an affordable alternative.
Yeah,
to
right. Exactly.
The Broadway show.
Yeah. It's the poor man's. Yeah.
Like these two, the same shows, but this one you can get for, you know, a 50th of the price.
It's a much cheaper ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's no longer $8, but it's a much cheaper ticket.
And it's a really fantastic show, and you cover a bunch of different materials, some stuff, you know, that he wrote that other people had hits with and some of the biggest songs, and you dig a little deep sometimes, and it's really, and you've put out that stuff. Is that stuff out on?
We've put three or four of the tunes out, just as like individual tracks. Just before I came here, we were talking about like, we got to get it all together and do an album. And so there's talk about for next year, getting a record of it together. Yeah.
And you have another album that you put out, or EP maybe, of ukulele stuff.
Yeah. I did an album called Uke Pop, and that has the Thunder Road.
That's right.
That has Thunder Road on it. And then a bunch of other stuff. It's maybe a third of the album is just ukulele. So like not even vocals, they're instrumental, you know, arrangements of stuff. And then a third of it is, you know, solo uke and solo voice. And then there's a few tunes that are more, you know, produced tracks that have ukulele at the heart of it.
Right.
I've got a, I don't know, 7 or 8 ukulele version of Love Will Keep Us Together by,
which is also
Captain
fantastic.
Tenille,
yeah.
You know, with uke bass and stuff like, so it's all like, the only thing on it is ukes and voices, but it's a lot of ukes and a lot of voices. And so, yeah. And that was, you know, it's really not, you know, it's a lot of uke, but, I'm pretty proud of it. You know, there's a lot of really nice arrangements there, and it's a nice collection of tunes, and it's a pretty good listen.
Yeah. I like that because it shows off the versatility, both of you as a performer and of the instrument.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, that's always kind of been my thing with the uke since the beginning of it is just, you know, to try to bust down the kind of stereotypes of, oh, you know, you can play Hawaiian music and Tin Pan Alley on it. And it's like, yes, you can. But those aren't the only things, you know, that it's for.
And it will all seem funny. But
them. Well, so your daddy says he knows that I don't have any. Well, tell him this is his last chance to get his daughter in a fine romance. Because the record company, Rosie, just gave me a big advance. Well, my tires were slashed and I almost crashed, but the Lord have mercy. My machine, she's a dud. I'm stuck in the mud somewhere in the swamps of Jersey. Stand on that, hold on tight, cause Rosie, I'm coming on strong. By the time we meet the morning light, I'll hold you in my arms. I know a pretty little place in Southern California down San Diego way, where there's a little cafe where they play guitars all night and all day. You can hear them in the back room strumming. Well, look out, roses, don't you know daddy's coming? Whoa! Rosalita, jump on the ladder. Senorita, come sit by my fire. I just wanna be a lover, that's no lie. Rosalita, you're my strong desire.
You're listening to Everybody Plays the Fool on Radio Free Brooklyn. And that was Jim Boja with his cover of Rosalita by Bruce Springsteen. And I highly recommend his Bruce Off-Broadway One Man, One Ukulele show. It's really a great set of music and great performances. And his arrangements of those songs are really great. A lot of greats in there. But yeah, I love how he translates these big arrangements for a bunch of different instruments and boils them down to the ukulele, and it's really impressive. So go see that. His next show in New York is sold out, but he will be at City Winery Philadelphia on the 24th of January. So if you're anywhere near there, I highly recommend you go do that. And next time he's playing in New York, I will promote that as well, because not that he needs it because he's selling out of shows. But thanks again to Jim Boja. I'm a big fan of his, and I really appreciate him giving me time here in the studio and playing some songs and all that. Follow him on social media and go see him live if you get the chance. That's Jim Boggia, B-O-G-G-I-A. I'm now going to play some more music, some more ukulele stuff, both Jim Boggia and non-Jim Boggia related. Closes out here. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Everybody Plays the Fool, episode 167. And let's get into this last set of music. I'm going to start out with the song that Jim mentioned in that interview segment there, his version of Love Will Keep Us Together, and then we'll hear some ukulele music from some legends, and well, all of them are music legends in different ways, but we're going to hear something off the Eddie Vedder ukulele album, as well as ukulele legends Cliff Edwards and Lyle Ritz to close things out, so stick around for that. And let's get into it. Here is Jim Boggia with Love Will Keep Us Together on this last set of music on Everybody Plays the Fool here on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Stop, 'cause I really love you. Stop, I'll be thinking of you.
in your heart and let love keep us together. You belong to me now. Ain't gonna set you free now. When those boys start hanging around, talking me down, here with your heart and you won't hear a sound. Better stop. However you are.
too far. I'll keep on healing all the scars that we've collected from the start. I'd rather this than live without you. For every wish I born a star that goes unanswered. From afar I lie awake, close my eyes to find I'd never be the same without you.
Singing in the rain, what a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with your rain, I've got a smile on my face. I walk down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain. Why am I smiling and why do I sing? Why does December seem sunny as spring? Why do I get up each morning to start happy and head up with joy in my heart? Why is each new task a trifle to do? 'Cause I'm living a life full of you. I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with your rain, I've got a smile on my face. I walk down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain. Just singing, singing in the rain. Thank you.
right. Thanks for listening. This has been Everybody Plays the Fool. If you're listening live, stay tuned for the next best thing with Jonathan Lerner, and stay tuned to Radio Free Brooklyn.